Welcome to the Speak Like a Leader podcast with John Bates.
Hey, John, how's it going?
Going great. Welcome to the show. Hugh Forrest, the Chief Programming Officer at South by Southwest, a guy I met, I think probably back in like 19, oh boy, it was a long time ago. Like the maybe even the early 1990s, the mid late 1990s, when it was South by Southwest Multimedia that you were bringing into existence, which then morphed into South by Southwest Interactive right about 98, 99. And now you're the Chief Programming Officer at South by Southwest. And this is Hugh Forrest, everybody, somebody that I have known for a really long time, and somebody that is a really big person in my life, and I think in a lot of ways in the lives of many of us and in the world, not only actually physically. Hugh is a gigantically tall guy, but he is also just a really big, wonderful person who has just steadily done great things for the interactive industry, I think. And we're going to talk a lot about that. We're going to talk about the differences between how it used to be and how it is now and a lot of that stuff. But Hugh, I am thrilled to get to sit down and have this conversation with you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for the nice words, John. I love the idea of 19, oh boy. That was a long one.
We were both children, you know.
Yes, we were children. And yes, it has been a long, long journey and great to be on the podcast and hopefully share a little bit of my story and give a little bit of insight to your audience.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. You know, we talk about leadership and communication. And one of the let's just jump right in here. We got a lot of things I want to cover, but you have been, I mean, and look, it's just the truth. It's not some big compliment. It's just the truth. You have been a really major center for a really long time in the interactive community. And I believe that you have done a bunch of wonderful things. And I think one of the reasons that that's true is because, as we were talking about before we actually turned on the recording, when we met back in those early days of multimedia and interactive and the internet just starting to happen, we were pretty bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and a little starry-eyed about what was going to be possible. And you have walked your talk the entire time. Things like crowdsourcing who gets to speak, just listening to what's really going on in the community. I was always deeply impressed with the people that you brought to speak at South by Southwest Interactive and the topics that they talked about and the directions that you, I think, had a huge impact on steering things and going by those choices. And I wonder, you know, what comes up for you when I say you doing this for so long, really having a community, like, how did you do that? What are some of the processes that you used to get yourself here?
Well, I think that, I mean, you said it, I'm a big believer in the power of community. I am happy to take credit for helping South by Southwest and South by Southwest Interactive grow, but what it has really been is the power of a engaged, innovative, forward-thinking community that we've been lucky enough to tap into. Just a little bit of a history here, a little more context to what you said. South by Southwest started as a music event in 1987, music only. I got on board in 1989. I got hired because I had a computer and they didn't.
That used to be all it took, right?
Yeah, that was the extent of expertise. And then in 1994, we launched this thing called, or we added this thing, this another component, which was film plus multimedia. Mm. was all one event. And then 1995, we separated that out into a film event and a multimedia event. And in 1995, the multimedia event was mainly focused on CD-ROMs. I mean, we were, you know, right at the beginning of the internet age there.
Yeah.
CD-ROMs were much more the kind of like the hope of the future. But in a few years, we shifted over more towards doing internet stuff. Because I had had that computer in 1989, my boss said, well, you should be managing this multimedia thing. I had no idea what you know, kinds of things we should be covering, what the event should be. And so that was really when I started trying to, you know, tap into more people in the community who are more attuned to this. And that has always been very much a formula for success for what we've done.
Well, I want to just resonate with that, because I a while ago I went to Necker Island, which is just like, I never thought I could say that, you know, and I got to hang out with Richard Branson, and I hear a similarity here, which, you know, I think in the end is an ultimately a compliment, but Richard Branson told us, he said, look, I've got dyslexia, and I really, you know, some other learning disorders, and I could never be really good at anything. So I would go into something that I was interested in, and I'd try to figure it out as well as I could for a little while. And then I'd find somebody that really knew it, and I'd hire them and let them run the company. Right. And so I think that, you know, that's a really, really big winning formula, you know, you had a computer, but you admitted that you didn't know everything about it. So you just went out and found all the greatest people. And then you had this engaged, innovative, forward-thinking community that has probably been an incredible boost and bonus to the work that you do.
Yeah. Also, I mean, you know, in my role, what I was doing a lot of, and what I still do a lot of, is help put together panel programming, sessions, presentations, uh-huh. that type of thing. And what we did, I mean, what we do in the old days is I'd read a story somewhere, you know, Wired or Industry Standard, if you can remember that.
The Industry Standard. Yeah. It was great, actually, in its day. That was a great.
And wow, this is interesting. Let me see if I can track this person down and maybe get him or her to speak at South by Southwest. And that formula worked pretty well for what it was worth, a little bit time intensive, but inevitably the best sessions we had were when someone would come to me and say, hey, look, I'm an expert in blank, blank. I can pull together two or three people to speak about this, and it'd be great for South by Southwest. And those, again, work best. So what you know, tried to develop a process that would make that a little bit easier. This was this thing that eventually became the South by Southwest panel picker, which is this kind of modified crowdsourcing approach to content.
Yes.
And this has worked very well for us. It is something where we get in the neighborhood of 5,000 total speaking ideas and are able to voting from the community, with our advisory board, with our staff, pick what we think are about the best, you know, 750 to 800 of those. It also creates engagement during the summer, which is a time where we typically didn't have a whole lot of audience engagement. Yep. So this has been something very good for us. And again, goes back to that idea of tapping into the community, of open source. It also goes to, if you remember, and I'm sure you do from way back when, that book that was kind of the internet Bible of the early 2000s, which is the Clue Train Manifesto.
Oh, I totally remember it.
And one of my all-time favorite quote, which I often say because it's my all-time favorite because it's easy to remember, it's markets are conversations, three-word thing, Markets are conversations. And so the more you can converse with your audience, with your community, with your potential customers, the more you can create that dialogue, the stronger you are. And that's ultimately one of the great things that we've accomplished with this this panel picker interface and that entire process.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was one of the brilliant things about it, I thought, was that you got everybody on the planet that wanted to be at South by Southwest engaged with you, voting for what they wanted to see. And then a huge amount of those people would show up, you know? And I just thought it was really, really a brilliant, brilliant idea.
Well, thank you for that. It was, you know, as with a lot of ideas that turn out to be good, I remember when we first launched this and it looked much different when we first launched it. You know, we thought, well, maybe we'll get one or two good panels. And then, you know, it just kind of blew up and blew up in a good way. And we got a lot of content this way. Again, it became this great way to tap in, access community expertise. It also became a great way to understand what this community was thinking about the kind of content that they wanted to see. And I think that, you know, that taps into another thing that I think I've learned along the way is that often your audience, your community, your customers understand your product better than you do.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And the more you listen to them, the more you have some kind of way to effectively listen to them. Again, the stronger you can be and the better you can serve them.
Yeah. That's good. I mean, so yeah. So instead of being embarrassed that they understand your product better than you do, just listen.
Well, in the vernacular, lean into it. Although I hate that.
Yeah. I'm with you. It's a little overused, but it's true. So I remember, just for the old timers that are listening to this show, let's do a little reminiscing for a second, because I want to get us to the current reality. But I remember being at, in fact, I met one of my very best friends, Hugh, coming to South by Southwest, a guy whose name is Kelly Abbott. And he was sitting on the plane, on a Southwest plane, next to the best seat in the plane where my backpack was, right? And I had gone back to go to the bathroom during the stop, and he had gotten on at that stop. And then he was sitting in he was the first one on. My backpack was in the seat he wanted. The next best seat is the seat right next to it. And that's where he was sitting. And then everybody got on the plane, asked him if that seat was open. He didn't know what was happening, but he's like, well, there's a backpack in it, you know? And then I come waltzing down after everybody's boarded and sat down next to him. And he said, you know, I don't like you very much right now. How all great friendships start, right? It's a man friendship starting right there. And I looked at him and I said, oh, really? Tell me about that. I don't know where I came up with that. And then he told me what happened, and we both had a good laugh, and we talked about how we were the anal ones that were always the first to check in on Southwest so we could get that A1 slot. And then we landed at South by Southwest. We both put our stuff in our hotel rooms, met at the bar, you know, had dinner, had some wine, and then hung out for the whole time at South by Southwest that year. And that was the year that they didn't launch, but Twitter effectively came to life at South by Southwest. Yeah.
Yeah. So that would have been 2007.
Yeah.
And certainly a lot of the growth of South by Southwest is directly tied to that 2007 event when Twitter again kind of had one of their initial tipping points where they did a big activation, quote unquote, at South by Southwest. They won an award there. So many in this community use this new technology to help navigate the event. And they had this huge initial spike in usership. And then people went back to wherever they're from and told their friends about it. And so they had this South by Southwest bounce that again, really changed the course of the event. We had the next year, we had every startup in the world want to come to South by Southwest. We had every VC in the world want to come to South by Southwest to discover the next Twitter. And again, really changed our course. I will say that South by Southwest benefited so much, or so much of our, growth is being in the right place at the right time, more by luck or happenstance than by design plan on social media. We first kind of started that in 2004 when we had a keynote by a gentleman named Jonathan Abrams, who was the founder and CEO of Friendster. If you remember that.
I do. Yeah.
Friendster was of course, the precursor to MySpace, and MySpace to,
Oh my gosh, dude.
Twitter, Facebook, all these things to come. I had seen Jonathan Abrams on some kind of late night TV show and thought, wow, this guy's really interesting. Can we find a way to get in touch with him? And we did, and invited him. And that again started this whole, this push into social media, which again really pushed our growth. And it is so foreign for us to think about this in 2022, but at that time, people didn't know what social media was, and people were coming to an event like South by Southwest to literally learn how to log on and what this thing was going to be.
Yeah.
And so again, that pushed so much of our growth. I think what is fascinating, and not necessarily in a good way, is that 15 years ago, we were so, you said it before, bright-eyed and optimistic about the power of this new technology, that social media was going to unite us in a way that we hadn't been united. It was going to keep us closer. And in many ways, it has achieved some of that potential. But we also have to be realistic that a lot of the people who were raising their hand back then and saying, hey, there are going to be some negative consequences of this. We probably should have listened to them a lot more closely, because a lot of those predictions have come to be very true. And that's, sad, I think, right? For lack of better word.
Yeah. It is, because look, I was right there with you, right? We were all cheering this on and we were championing it. And I think that I like to tell people that at a certain point, naive is another word for lazy. And I wouldn't accuse you of that, but I would accuse me of that. And maybe all of us could take a little bit of that, because I just was so focused on the upsides and I didn't really want to deal with the downsides. But boy, did there turn out to be some downsides. And
I think that, there's no point beating us up on this, but I do think that, in anything in life, learn from your mistakes, right? Or learn from your experiences. And the lesson of social media, again, there are so many positives that have come from social media, but there are an equal number of negatives. What we have to do, be better about doing moving forward is, examine every new technology under the most stringent lenses of, these are the upsides of this. What are absolutely every possible downside of this?
Yeah.
And that's hard to do. That is really hard to do, particularly when you've got a bright and shiny new object in front of you that, wow, this is cool. Yeah. But you've got to think about what those downsides will be, because those will inevitably surface at some point. And again, that's what social media taught us, and learn from the past so you can be slightly better in the future.
Well, I remember the day that I realized early, like this was 1987 or 88. I was like, oh, the internet is a Scorpio, because, depending on when you say it started, like one date that is a very good, reasonable date that the internet was born was October 27th, which is actually my birthday. And the first message, I think, was sent from UCLA to Berkeley or whatever, right? And that was on October 27th. Like, oh, the internet's a Scorpio. Uh-oh. And I think that, The other thing that I don't think that we thought about enough at that time, because look, this was, I think so we're talking right now and it's been, you know, like the pandemic's been going on for a couple years plus. There's Russia has invaded Ukraine. That's happening right now. You know, there are all kinds of very obvious inflamed divisions in the United States. And I look back at that time, the 90s, and man, like the music was great. I had a lot of fun. It was an excellent time, but I think we kind of took our eye off the ball, and that whole idea that it was the end of history, we drank that Kool-Aid too deeply, I think. I think in the meantime, there were a lot of regimes like Putin's Russia that were finding ways to just look in for every way they could to inflame divisions in the Western democracies. And then we get something like Twitter and YouTube and Facebook, and it all seems great. But we paid our smartest computer scientists in the world unbelievable salaries to create artificial intelligence whose ultimate goal in each of those platforms in separate ways and approaches ended up being to divide us.
Right.
And then these regimes that we had kind of thought were over because it was the end of history, like they figured out how to weaponize that stuff against us. And so, you know, we were talking again before we hit record about Twitter and how I think a lot of us are just less enamored and less active on a lot of the social media platforms that we were such champions of before, you know. What do you like? You've had a really bird's eye view of this whole arc. You know, what do you think about that? Like, where are we? Where are we going? What can we do? You know, do you have any thoughts on that, Hugh?
I have thoughts. I don't necessarily have answers. I think that, you know, every time we think, or I know that every time personally, I think that social media has, well, we're, you know, we've hit every invention here. Then something else, you know, hits and is even more powerful. And certainly where we are in spring 2022, you know, TikTok is everything. And the power of that medium, the power of that algorithm to suck people in is incredible. And again, there's a lot of incredible stuff there, but there's a lot of things that are dangerous. I do think that, you know, some of the alternatives that are getting their moment in the sun now, such as this Be Real thing, which is this, you know, kind of anti-Instagram, where you're encouraging much more authenticity, is interesting. Yeah. You know, platforms like that, and I think we will continue to see those things develop, new ideas develop there. And I hope that, you know, as the impact and effects of the pandemic hopefully continue to decline, that more people will take advantage of interacting in a face-to-face environment. I mean, certainly one of the things that we find every year at South by Southwest, I think you find with all your experience doing TED events, is that, you know, so much of South by Southwest is at this point is about new technology, about new ways to connect people, about new social medias, about new, you know, new cell phones, new whatever. Events like South by Southwest, like TED, like CES, they ultimately they are testament that people like to get together face to face.
That's exactly it. Yes.
That you can't, I mean, maybe sometime soon technology or later technology that will come up with an incredible VR headset that will make us feel like we're sitting across the table from each other. It's not there yet. And it's doubtful that it will ever be there. It's some kind of, you know, innate human thing of sensing someone else's DNA or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, smelling the pheromones and, you know, like if you believe in it, they're prana, right? And there's something to that, you know, whatever it is.
And that's been the power of events like South by Southwest, where people get together and meet face to face for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner, for drinks, for coffee. And yeah, we certainly saw this like crazy this year, March 2022, which was our first year back since March 2019, where it was just, yeah, just this like honeymoon and halo effect of, yeah, wow, back together, you know?
Yeah.
Well, everything else is gravy. Just being, you know, next to you in line. That's great.
Well, I distinctly remember 2020, you know, like stuff's happening and there's that viral video of from Vietnam of the kid washing his hands and everybody dancing and washing their hands. And there's this pandemic that's happening somewhere else. And then all of a sudden, I remember the day South by Southwest said, we're canceling the event. Now, that I think was absolutely the right thing to do. I mean, can you imagine what would have, you know, the super spreader event that would have been before we had vaccinations, before we knew what was going on, right? So I think that was the right thing to do. I do remember that day, though, immediately after that, like my phone lit up, my email lit up, and like everything I had planned for the next year was just canceled, you know? And it was, I was thinking about you a lot, you know? I didn't want to call you because I figured you were busy, but what was that moment like? And then let's talk about 2022, but tell me about that moment. Take me back to that moment for you and your experience of that.
Well, yeah, I certainly remember it well, or remember it not in a well way. But it was March 6, 2020. It was a Friday. And if you want to do the math, that was a week before Friday the 13th. that was the day we were canceled by the city of Austin. And for so many people, they have a story similar to yours. Is like, that was when I knew that COVID was real. As with everything with this pandemic, you know, hindsight is 2020. Up to literally, yeah, up to a week before then, we had been working closely with our many friends at the city of Austin. You know, are we going to be able to do this event safely? Yeah, for sure. Just have lots of hand sanitizer around. And then all of a sudden, right, things just began to change. And again, that cancellation. I will say that in our best days, we like to think that South by Southwest is where you come to learn about the future and learn, and, you know, understand. This was one more manifestation of that, although not in a good way. As you say, if we had somehow continued and pushed through on this event, it would have been an incredible super spreader. And thank God we did not do that, as much as it sucked to cancel. And
oh man,
again, that was a Friday, March 6th. 3 days later, we had to let go of about a third of our staff, which was horrible. We've never had to do anything like that before. And, you know, we've been slowly kind of building back since then, but, yeah, you know, it was a tough time, but it was a tough, certainly the pandemic has been tough on every business in America and every business in the world. So in that sense, we didn't have anything better or worse than a lot of other people there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, boy, I do think it was the right call, and I can only imagine how difficult that was. And it was certainly, that was the day that I think changed, like anybody that was paying any attention that knew anything about stuff, I do think that was the shot heard round the states, you know, like South by Southwest canceled. And that was a just huge big deal, you know? So kudos to you guys for being such a big deal. And yes, it certainly was, this is a negative manifestation of that. But then this year you guys were live again. So tell me some of the nuances of that.
Well, certainly it was a long journey back. The year we were canceled, 2020, we did a very small amount of just online content, sessions that were either taped or broadcast live online. Yep. But again, that was very, very small amount of that. And in fact, we kind of ceased that because George Floyd happened that year,
oh,
too.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Decided, like, okay, we're done. 2021, we did an entirely virtual event, and that actually worked a lot better than we thought it would, albeit we had pretty low expectations, but it was a way for people to experience the event. A lot of people who hadn't before. 2022,
two things about 2021. The first one was that that's one of the silver linings of the pandemic is that everybody had to figure out how to get to an online event, right? So when you guys did this in March of 2021, after everybody'd been forced online en masse, like, well, what else are they going to do, right? So, and people knew how to do it. So in a way, that's kind of cool and useful. And then I think it is, it's great that you guys did it because it's kind of your world, right? So I think that of all the things to do, that was the thing to do for 2021.
Yeah. And like every other or almost every other business, the pandemic forced us to, evolve, do 5 years or 10 years of evolution in the space of 12 months. And so, you had your toe dipped in this virtual water before. Okay, now you're stepping off the deep end because there ain't nothing else you can do.
That's right.
So we learned a lot that year. 2 months or March 2022 was our first time back for an IRL event since March 2019.
In real life, IRL. Yeah.
Yes. In real life. It was pretty successful. It was great to be back. And as I said a few minutes ago, there was a lot of just the honeymoon effect of, having gone through the initial wave of COVID, having gone through Delta, having gone through Omicron, people just like, woohoo, we're back, in person. It's great to be here. It's great to be at a big event again. And we benefited from that. And all these things that we'd all taken for granted for all our life that you can just get together.
Yeah.
We don't take for granted quite as much anymore. And there you go. Yeah. I think as well for 2022, this is something that I think we've always tried to do at South by Southwest, but even more so this year is really try to we're trying to highlight speakers and companies that are doing new and innovative stuff in the tech space or filmmakers are doing new things, bands that are doing new things, but even more so in 2022, trying to highlight inspirational speakers, people who can give our audience, our community, hope in a world that really is starved for inspiration. And I think that plays into, so much of where you are in your current journey about, teaching people the most powerful ways to speak and tell a story. And I know those, the speakers who were particularly good at that about being inspirational are the ones that really, really resonated with our audience and our community this year. And so, that was a huge honor to be able to bring people like that, shine a bright spotlight on people like that.
Do you mind just sharing with us like a little bit, like maybe what was the message of one of those speakers? What was their basic takeaway that we could be inspired by maybe?
Well, certainly one of my favorite speakers at this year's event, someone I had, this kind of goes back old school. It was someone I had read about or read a profile of him in the New Yorker. And it's like, wow, this guy is really neat. I'm going to just, go on Google, see if I can find his email. And I did, and I reached out, and it all worked out for this gentleman to speak at South by Southwest. He's a guy named Eddie Zhang, based in the Bay Area in San Francisco, or Oakland, actually. He had been a Chinese immigrant. He had Barely spoke English when he came to the U.S., fell in with the wrong crowd, committed a crime at age 17, I believe. He was sentenced to 7 years in prison, ended up spending about 20 years in prison at the time when he was sentenced. He was the youngest prisoner in San Quentin. Ooh. So he came out of prison and with this idea, with this vision that he would help particularly Asian immigrants who were in the same challenge, that had the same challenges he had. He started a thing called the New Breath Foundation because he believes that, you know, any kind of change starts internally. And to do that, you have to be aware of your breath. Ooh. Just an incredibly powerful story of resilience, yeah. of you know, a long-term approach to life, that I've been in prison for 20 years, but that's not going to define me, that I'm going to do something better. Yeah. And so he was one of my favorite speakers at this year's event. And I love that idea and that message that, you have to have patience sometimes, have to have a hell of a lot of patience when you're in prison for 20 years, but that your mistakes don't define you. What defines you is what you're doing right now or tomorrow. It was one of the neatest things of this year to be able to host this gentleman.
Wow, so that's fabulous.
To your audience, newbreathfoundation.org, I think is how you can find this guy. And I've kept up a little bit of a relationship with him since the event, and really, really neat story.
That's great. Well, I mean, and I think that that message of long-termness and long-term resilience, boy, that's a message for our time. You know, that's definitely what we need to do and stay focused on.
And certainly all the more powerful and meaningful against the unfortunate, but, you know, where we are now of a anti-Chinese or anti-Asian backlash.
Yeah.
And so, again, really neat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Well, and you know, that's the thing that I think it kind of brings us back to what we were talking about when I first introduced you, is that I feel like one of your strengths as a leader, Hugh, is that you have the courage of your convictions and you walk your talk. You know, you don't just talk about the things that you talk about, you actually go do something about the things that you care about. And I think that there's a big lesson for any leader in that, because if we look at the enormous, at this point, community that you have there at South by Southwest around the whole thing and around the interactive portion, and to the power of that community, I mean, it's an amazing, huge, ginormous, powerful, tied-in community. I just don't think that would have happened for you if you were not walking your talk, you know, a fair, good, ethical person, somebody who cares about people the way you do. You know, I've watched you closely for years, and I'm amazed at your ability to keep all this stuff straight, but you know people, you know, I bump into you and you recognize me and you remember me and you know what's going on with me. And I've got to imagine that I'm not alone in that experience. And I just think that that's one of those things. It's not the most like top of the mountain cheer and roar kind of leadership thing, but loving people, paying attention to people, valuing people, walking your talk, like that's what it actually, I think, ultimately comes down to.
Well, again, John, thank you for the nice words. That's really great to hear. And
well, they're from the heart, you know.
You know, I think that, or I hope that for my approach to this, for the approach that I've tried to lead to my staff, is that we're hosting real people here. The more, you know, that we can be friendly, be communicative, be welcoming to this community, the better we are. That ultimately it's the community that makes this event. It's not us. You know, one of the ones that I always admire, and I know that he's got some upsides and some downsides at this point. And I presume he still does this, but you know, we've been lucky enough to have Gary Vee speak at South by Southwest many times. And what he used to do in the old days, I think he probably still does this, is, you know, he would stand in front of the room that he was speaking in, and he would individually, you know, shake people's hands as they're walking into the session, you know, like, thanks for coming to my session. Thanks for coming to my session. Thanks for coming to my, you know, and that kind of, you know, it doesn't scale, or it's hard to scale something like that, but it is incredibly meaningful to the people who, you know, that you took the time to do that with. And that kind of thing pays off. And again, real fan of that kind of approach of understanding that communities are built by these individual relationships. These individual relationships are incredibly powerful, even in a world that wants us to scale to incredible volume.
You know, it's, gosh, there's a couple things in that I just want to highlight, because that's all wonderful to hear. And I'll tell you, first off, I didn't ever put it together till you just said this now, but every time that I come to South by Southwest, one of my favorite parts is coming into that gigantic room where there's all the bags, right? And there's just the friendliest, nicest people making me feel like they're excited that I'm there. It almost makes me teary-eyed. It's silly, but it's so powerful, because that is my experience of South by Southwest. And when somebody says South by Southwest, I think of the famous bands I saw and the time I saw Moby and the people before Moby that he actually told, you're a hard act to follow. It was Something TV. They're so good. I'll find it and put it in the show notes. But so there's all that stuff. But when you say South by Southwest, I think of that big room and just this just horde of volunteers that make me feel like I'm special and really welcome.
Good. You know, good. I love it that you have that memory. And it is so amazing. We have a army of volunteers, and they're in fact, you know, running the show on site. And the fact that they're so excited about this and enthusiastic and can be that initial touch to someone who's just been on a plane for 12 hours and may have missed a connection and is grumpy, and they're saying, "Hey, welcome to Austin. Yeah. Great to have you here." And that is so powerful.
It's so powerful.
Face to face, you know, friendliness that is key.
Exactly. And that face-to-face friendliness, you know, a couple things. Like, one is that doesn't scale, but I often think of things in two. I remember I gave a talk about this in 1994, I think, where I was, or 1998 with Big Words. I took a laser pointer, right? And I said, okay, so this is online media, right? I can individually target the person in the back row. I can individually target the person in the middle. I can get a whole bunch of people all at once, very individual, very, you know, but it's not the same as when I take this big bucket of water, and I had a big bucket with paper in it, right? And I pour it on the front row, right? And I just went whoosh, and I poured all this confetti on the front row, and everybody thought it was water for a second and freaked out. I'm like, look, that experience, only these people had it, but everybody watched that experience, and everybody, you know, had that experience through them having it, right? And I do think there's something about that wonderful in-personness of, say, Gary Vee shaking people's hands. There's something about the attitude of that scales, you know? For sure. And it's just so fun and powerful and important in that in-person moment. You know, it's just really wonderful.
I agree. Absolutely agree. And even if you're, you know, even if you didn't get to shake Gary Vee's hands, the fact that you saw him doing it with someone else reminds you how important that is and has some kind of effect. And it's, you know, it's that whole thing of even seeing an act of kindness happen transforms you in some way.
Yeah. So listen, I know we're getting close to the end of our time here. Is there any like leadership story that I didn't draw out of you yet, or any your favorite saying, or like, is there anything else I should ask you before we go?
Well, I don't know if it's a leadership lesson or how much it translates exactly into leadership, but you know, my experience at South by Southwest, and I've been here for far too long, 30 years or so, is
pretty awesome.
Is testimony again to having a long-term approach to things, you know, trying to get a little better at something every year, and having patience and persistence. There are lots of people who can do things faster, but patience and persistence often wins out. I also think that, again, to your particular journey, I mean, when I first got getting involved with South by Southwest, and easily for the first decade, and I'd have to introduce a speaker or talk in public, and I was deathly afraid of that, and just hated talking in public. The more I did that, you know, at some point it finally clicked, and I realized that no matter how bad I did, I was going to probably walk off stage and everything was going to be fine. And became much better at it. I'm still not that great a public speaker, but it's not you know, just the scariest thing in the world to me. And I've, you know, learned how powerful that is when you can speak in public and deliver to your audience a few nuggets of truth, a few points of wisdom. So I love what you're doing now in terms of teaching people how to do that, because that has been such a powerful thing in my life. And again, my experience has just been the repetition factor, that the more you do this, the slowly you get a little bit better at it.
Yeah. Well, kudos to you, you know, and good for keeping at it. And that's something that I talk about a lot, is just practice, you know. I suffered from the delusion of thinking that other people were just great speakers just naturally, you know, like they called Steve Jobs the natural communicator. Dude, that guy would practice for an hour for every minute that he was going to be on stage. We'd all be a lot better if we worked that hard. So, you know, thank you for the compliment. And I love what I do. I have to say, like, it is what I think I was put on earth for. And to have people's communication be as mighty as their ideas, is maybe one way to say it, is just beyond fulfilling. So thank you.
Good. And again, you know, as an event organizer, what I inevitably find is the most powerful speakers are not necessarily the ones with the most powerful ideas. They're the ones that have the energy, have the enthusiasm, and have the way to communicate their ideas to an audience and engage the audience. And that is a real skill, or a skill that can be developed over time. So
for sure. Yeah. It is a real skill, and it can be developed over time.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying, like everything, it's not, you know, you don't wake up and just do this one day. You practice it, you improve it, you tweak it. And when you have a bad public speaking thing, as I have had way too many, I go back and like write a note to myself of what I should have done better and how to do better next time. So.
And that's how it works. Well, Hugh, just such a joy to get a chance to catch up with you here, because it's been too long since we talked, and I'm happy that you guys are back in person. I'm glad it was a success in 2022, and you know, I think that as much as what's going on in social media is in this very moment, I think, an incredible disappointment and frustration to me, I am genuinely glad to know that you are in the position you're in. And I, you know, I'll thank you in advance for scouting out the good stuff and for encouraging the people that you come across to examine the downsides, even at the same time that they're excited about the upsides. And, you know, it's not over yet, right? So this all may end up being, there may be much brighter stuff to come, even though it is kind of a disappointment where we are right now. I'm just glad that you're in the mix. And I really think that you make a big difference and your choices and your actions, you know, and I probably need to say that to myself and to everybody listening and to all of us, right? Because that's what it comes down to is how do we all choose to do this? And I think you've got a little extra lever of influence there.
Thank you, John. It is great to see you again. Yes, we have a slightly larger megaphone at South by Southwest. We're honored to have that privilege and that power. And I hope that we can continue to showcase people who are doing something a little extra to try to make the world better. But I will absolutely agree with you that we can all do this in our own ways. And that's our challenge every day. But again, great to reconnect with you. You know, we've crossed paths so many times over the years, whether it was multimedia or interactive or the event we did in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And again, love seeing what you're doing now with helping people to get their message out in a much more powerful way.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank all of you for joining us. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of SpeakLikeALeader.show. If you have a minute and you would give us a 5-star excellent review, that would help this get out to even more people. And thank you again for your time, for your attention, and Hugh Forrest. Thank you so much for joining me here on SpeakLikeALeader.show.
Thank you, John.
Thank you for joining the Speak Like a Leader podcast. Go be awesome.